over to eat lunch. And I just was beside this random older guy, and he just looks at me and says, "Well, the world's getting pretty bad out there, isn't it?" It's like, "Oh, yeah, I guess so." And his follow-up to that was, "I'm glad I'm not going to be around much longer to deal with it," basically. And I didn't understand why that bothered me so much, or even where this line of thinking came from. And I was doing a little bit of study on the end times and the four views of end times. And so as a congregation, we'd consider ourselves dispensational premillennialists. And as I was looking at this chart, it actually shows God's work with Israel, the cross, God's work with the church, the tribulation, the millennial, Jesus coming again. And in the timeline, it has in the graph written exactly this: society grows increasingly evil. And that is what our doctrinal stance would technically be, theoretically. But I just want to push back on that a little bit, and we're going to look at the book of Habakkuk. And we're going to summarize the book of Habakkuk in 8 minutes. So I was studying this, and I was getting too excited, and I was writing down way too many notes, so I just left all my notes at home, and we'll just go with the Bible and go from there. And so we see in the book of Habakkuk, we'll just read the first three verses. "The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises." I'll keep reading. "Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds." And so here's the same thought this older guy had. God, everything's just getting worse. Why is it getting worse? Why are things I am trying to serve you as your prophet, and things are just getting worse. And let's just look at the Lord's reply. I found this extremely encouraging. The Lord's reply in verse 5. "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told to you." No amens. That's all right. I was expecting an amen after that. Look, guys, I don't know. We see a lot of really grumpy Christians, right? We see a lot of people, and we hear it all the time. "We just got to hang on until the rapture comes. Like, someday Jesus will come back, and the rapture will happen, and that's it." And that's okay, but there's something even better. God wants to work a work in you today that you would not believe, even though he told you. Right? And we see this over and over in the scriptures, where God finds a man or a woman who their one single goal is to serve him. That's their only goal. They're just looking, how can I serve God today? And we see it in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. God will show himself loyal to someone whose heart is loyal to him. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. And we get so bogged down by looking at the world around us, and it just discourages us. It wrecks our witness in our community. It wrecks our witness in our job site. If we have a negative, grumpy attitude with our coworkers, why would they want what you have? If you have no hope, why would anyone want what you have? Right? They don't. And part of it is just this deep-seated where we think society's getting progressively worse. And it's not. If you read history, if you read the Bible, both of these things are not true. It was way worse 100 years ago than it is right now. Like, some things are worse, yes, but if you were a soldier in World War I, a soldier in World War II, struggling in the Great Depression, all these people were starving everywhere. We don't have that now. Yes, there is sin, and things are getting worse in other ways, and we can see all kinds of ideology pushing back. But when we focus on that instead of focusing on God, then we lose something, and we lose the witness that God wants us to have. And it's we've got an election coming up, and I can guarantee you that no matter who wins this election, there'll be Christians that are grumbling and complaining. And it doesn't matter. God has ordained whoever will be our next Prime Minister of Canada. And if it's the Conservatives and economically things get better, great. And if it's Liberals and economically things get worse, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Same with the Leafs fans. Like the Leafs are probably going to lose the playoffs. And you know what? It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. And we're just going to have people that are complaining, Christians that are complaining about whatever the result of this election is. And we are foreigners here. We are pilgrims here. This is not our home. Cooper was just, my kids pulled into the driveway the other day, and Cooper looks at Zoe and just says, "Zoe, this isn't our home." And so he's just like, "What are you talking about? This isn't our home, Zoe." And so I was like, "What are you talking about?" It's like, "Heaven's our home, Zoe. Heaven's our home." And amen, right? But we lose that, and we get so bogged down. We get so bogged down, and we lose what God wants to do in and through us. I didn't write down the quote. I should have. D.L. Moody, a quote that struck him, someone told him to the effects of, "The world has yet to see what God will do in and through and because of a man who serves him with his whole heart," right? And that is so true today, right? Today, there is absolutely no reasons why we shouldn't be out in the world with hope, with a cheerful attitude, and instead of looking at the world and seeing how bad it is, looking at the world and seeing all the lost people. We have a tremendous amount of work to do. And if God comes back, whenever God comes back, there will be moments that we regret. There's going to be so many conversations that we wish that we had. And if Jesus was to come back tonight, we'd be kicking ourselves for how we live today. I think I'd be kicking myself for how I live today, right? And we need to change our focus. Society might get worse in some ways, or maybe it won't. There's been so many revivals. If you look, that's been almost 10 minutes already, and we're only 3 verses into Habakkuk, 5 verses. But there's just been so many revivals, and God is just waiting for individuals or a congregation to grab a hold of him in prayer, and then God will do the work. And that's why we're here tonight. We're here to pray. At the end of some of these devotions, I want to just like stand up in my pew and yell, like, "Let's go! Let's go downstairs and pray!" Like, there's work to be done. And we're in a war, and this war can't be fought like standing up. This is not a standing up war. We're not on our knees enough. We're not in quiet enough. And we don't confess. There's so many things. There's so many aspects of prayer that we lack. And we need to get back to that. If we want to see society getting better, it's going to start in the church. It's not going to start in the world. If you're waiting for the politicians to make society better, you are going to wait for eternity. It's the Christians that are going to make society better. It's always been that way. It's always been, if society was good, it's because there was a strong Christian presence. And you can look at all the cultures that Christianity has come into. You can talk to Tim Watley for examples, and he'll show you like how bad things were before Christianity got there. And because we grew up in it, we've been immersed in it, and so have the people around us too. And that's definitely a problem. But our God can do the impossible, right? Our God can break the hearts of stone. He wants to. We see, for the last 3 minutes, we'll look at a couple things. So after the Lord replies, I love it when people ask God questions because he answers them. Habakkuk asks the question. God gives the first answer. Habakkuk asks another question. At the end, this is what he says in verse 2, verse 1. It just says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch and see what he will say to me and what I answer when I am corrected." And so Habakkuk has the right attitude. What does he say? He says, "God, I've got problems with how you're doing things, and I know I'm wrong," right? That's the proper way to do things. Assume you are wrong. I can guarantee you, if you've got something, a problem with how God's doing things, you're wrong. And we just see God answering again one more time and says in verse 14, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord." And in verse 20, "But the Lord in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silent before him." And then we'll just read in chapter 3 and verse 1. "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. O Lord, I have heard your speech and I was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known." And then over to verse 17. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines, though the labor of the oil may fail and yields no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, though there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on the high hills." And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, I just want to tell you, our King is still on his throne. And his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is standing there, and he was able to open the scroll that no one else has found worthy to open and loose the seven seals, and he was slain for us and has redeemed us to God by his blood. And right now, he's being praised by thousands and upon thousands of angels. And what are we doing, right? That's the question. What are we doing? Are we going to continue just kind of coasting through life? Or are we going to get a little bit of a mindset? I know I need my mind changed every single day, right? Every single day, I need God to renew my mind because it's so valuable and I get distracted so quickly. And so I just encourage you that, and I know I've been saying this a couple times, but I think we need more prayer and fasting in our personal lives. It's something that we, especially fasting, we've just lost that. And we just need that. It's something that cuts off the flesh and draws us closer in spirit to God. And we need fasting and we need more time alone with God in quiet. And just to shut out the world, reset our minds, and be ready to serve God today, right? This day. Next morning when you wake up, you have the opportunity to be ready for that day. And God wants to use you in a way that you would not even imagine, even if he told you, right? God wants to excite us with his plans. And so often our minds are just plugged up with the wrong information. And that's the message of Habakkuk. So that's been my 15 minutes. I guess, Dave, you're on.